Well, this morning at about 9 o'clock, I was just finishing putting on my shirt and hadn't pulled my boots on yet, and the phone rang. And I always enjoy getting phone calls from Kathy Snyder. It's usually about the music. Do you know what songs we're singing? Are you prepared and all that other stuff? And I said, yeah. She says, well, you know, can you do something? You know, Dan Beans isn't feeling well this morning, and he was scheduled to do the scripture reading. Can you do that, Rod? Sure, no problem. I can do that. Well, you know, Jim Mathias was doing the worship and giving. He's not feeling good either. Can you do that, Rod? Sure. Oh yeah. I can do that. You got a sermon? I'm not kidding you. That's what she asked. You know, because that's Ron's not feeling well either. And all of a sudden, I'm scratching my head, sitting there. You know, I'm good, but man, I don't think I'm that good. Actually, you guys are going to get a retread today. Some of you guys who were, if you haven't figured it out yet, I'm filling in on the sermon today. I'm very happy to do that. I'd rather have your respect than your admiration, though, on this one. So I'm going to work hard. But I gave the sermon that I have in my back pocket is one that I gave at Men's Breakfast here a month or two ago. I can't even remember. And the title of it is called 12 Steps to Earthly Success. So if you were one of the faithful men who came out to that prayer breakfast that morning, you're getting a retread. For the rest of you, it's brand new. All right, so enjoy it. There are 12 steps I'm going to be talking about this morning for earthly success. Now, I don't have a PowerPoint. If I'd have had 15 minutes longer, I would have had a PowerPoint ready for you, too. But Kathy didn't call until 9. If she'd have called me at 8:45, we'd have had it covered. You know, so next time, call earlier, Kathy. Boy, the good thing about this is these guys are going to owe me like crazy. This is going to be good. And thanks to John and Kim and the ushers for filling in, and even the impromptu music provision there. It's great. We all just join in. So get your pencil and paper out and write down these 12 steps to earthly success. Now, they're primarily for young people because we want young people to learn early in life what the secrets to success are. But as I told the men at prayer breakfast, almost all of you know someone who's young, and many of you are young at heart. So these 12 steps to earthly success, I believe, are useful to you no matter what stage in your life you happen to be at. But let's premise it with, I'm going to start with number one, but before I get to number one, let's talk about number zero. The zero, if the most important thing to earthly success, is your relationship with Jesus Christ, your heavenly path to success. And that's not what we're talking about today in particular. I'm going to premise this on the fact that you're a Christian, that all of these 12 steps to success build on the fact that you're a Christian. They start with that having already been accomplished. So if some of this doesn't make sense to you, that may be why. But I'm presuming that you're a Christian, and now you want to say, how do I build on my Christian faith, and what 12 steps to earthly success should I follow? Number one, join a local church. And I don't mean some shrinking, liberal, mainline, whatever church. I mean a Bible-preaching, hellfire and damnation church. Now you might say, why? Why? What's wrong with the other ones? Well, you need to join a church that warns people weekly that moral transgressions produce negative results. And you need to hear that lesson often. You know, I remember as a kid, I was just really getting tired of my dad telling me, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I know, Dad. I still did it. Okay? I needed reminders. And you know what? I think as I've grown older, I find that, you know what? I never grow out of that. I need you to remind me. I need to be held accountable to you. I need to hold you accountable. There are negative consequences to moral transgressions. One of the things that's missing from our society today is consequences. You can do almost anything these days and get away with it. And that is not success. That's slouching by. We're talking about the secrets to success here. If you want to be successful, Join a group that holds you accountable. And don't join a group that makes up its own rules. Join a group that is using tried and true rules. The really good stuff. Wisdom of the ages. Wisdom of the Lord. Don't make it up. Go with what works. The example here is from Genesis 3, verses 12 through 13. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Avoid eternal blame shifting. You're responsible for your actions. But it helps to be held accountable. And being here on Sunday, on Wednesday, for the Tuesday's Bible studies, the Thursday women's Bible study, that helps hold you accountable and it gives you the material you need to be successful. So number one is join a good local church. Number two, donate 10% of your income to your local church. This practice is called tithing. It announces to yourself and your church's leaders, "I rely on God for my money, and 10% off the top is a token of my faith that there's more where that came from." In short, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. Each one must do just as he has purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Where does your money come from? Who does it belong to? Who makes you able to earn it? 10% isn't a lot to ask. Number three, finish school. Now, most of you say, "Well, I finished school." Some of you are still in school. Finish school. Here's the principle. Graduating from high school or college does not make you smart. It makes you reliable. Graduating sends a message to a prospective employer. This person finishes what he starts, even if what he starts is inherently boring, such as school. This is the kind of person employers want to hire. Finish what you start is one of those eternal principles. I'm sure your parents pounded it into you or are pounding it into you. Accept it. Finish what you start. And Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Luke 9:62. Look forward. See the work at hand. Estimate what it's going to cost to get it done. And then decide. Be a person of action. Get it done. Number four. If you got the first three, let me review the first three. Join a church. Donate 10% of your income to a church. Finish school or finish what you start. Number four, get married if God blesses you with a spouse and stay married to the same person. This takes advantage of the productivity offered by the division of labor. You thought it was going to be something complex, didn't you? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Getting married is also a huge motivation to get a job and keep it. Okay? Getting married is one of the most important things. As I grow older, I make my wife promise me at least about once a week that she won't leave me, that she'll take care of me, that she'll still love me and put up with me. It really worries me when I look at myself that she's probably looking at me too and saying, It's very important to me. The ties that bind are so important. And we've been married 22 years now, coming up on 23 this coming summer. And those are that's the most important investment that I've ever made. The stock market can't take one dime away from that. It just builds and builds and builds. And my marriage, outside of my relationship with Christ, my marriage is the most important thing to me. Sorry, Sam, you're number three. You'll just have to deal with it. Number five, like I said, getting married is a good motive to get a job. Number five, therefore, is get a job and keep it. There are no dead-end jobs. All jobs are stepping stone jobs for people who are willing to pay the price to move up. When a job turns into a dead end, start working harder, longer, and smarter to persuade your boss to give you a promotion. He'll notice there aren't that many good workers around. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Genesis 39:22. Working harder will get you a promotion or a job offer from your boss's competitor. Okay. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." So Joseph moved up from a very dead-end job, the bottom of a well. Get a job and keep it. That's harder and harder to do these days. I struggle with that as well, the urge to get ahead and move up. Or complaining about your boss. I hate my boss. He's the dumbest brick on the planet. You know, I could do his job so much better than him. That's not part of the keeping your job part. You know, these days it's hard, especially for me, to humble myself and just do the work that my boss is paying me to do, to shut up and quit complaining and whining. I can get a job, but keeping it, that takes a skill that I have yet to master, but I'm working on it. Number 6, work cheaper initially. Want to overcome resistance to hiring you, or are you having a hard time getting that job? Lower your price. It's amazing what business owners' greed and their desire to exploit an opportunity, i.e. you, can do for your job prospects. In 1 Timothy 6:8-10, it says, "If we have food and covering, with all these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Getting a job is a nice discipline in and of itself. The money, somebody once told me, do what you love and the money will follow. So if you're having trouble getting a job, lower your price. The next step, master something. It doesn't matter what, just something. Find out how to do something really well. Read everything you can about it. These days, there's a huge advantage. It's called the internet. You can learn a lot without ever even leaving your office or wherever you have your computer set up. Practice what you've read. That's the key part. Again, it requires action. You have to practice what you've read. Take a night school class on it in your spare time, which means, I'll get to that, Matthew 13:55, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" What was Jesus' vocation? He was a carpenter. We always think of him as Lord and Savior, all the big titles. He started out as an apprentice carpenter, Sam. He had to learn from his father. I love using my family in pulpit stuff. They're gonna kill me. That's why I'm gonna need favors from Ron and everybody else, because family's gonna kill me. Here we go. Master something. Take night school classes on it in your spare time, which means stop, number 8, stop watching so much television, surfing the internet, or playing video games. I think we need to move on to the next one. No, because that one speaks to me right, it hits me right in the eye, ball right there. I'm not so much the television person anymore. My wife will tell you I'm an internet fiend. And at dial-up, boy, do I go slow. But you know what? I still do way too much of it. As Samuel grows up, one of the things that is hitting me is this empty nest syndrome. And earlier this week, he said, "Can I spend the night at one of my friend's house?" It's like, oh, man, Sam, there's about 550 nights before you head off to college. Not that anyone's keeping count. You know, and you want to spend one of those with your friend instead of with your family? Oh, go ahead. And then what do I do the next day? I spend the whole day on the internet. Spending time with your family is key, is important, all right? And if you're going to get good at something, you got to get out and practice it. You just can't read about it all of your life. So stop watching so much television, surfing the internet, or playing video games, and go do something important. Spend time with your family. Master something. Get good at something. Take care of somebody else. Do something nice for someone. Go drive up into the Alps and just enjoy God's creation. Which brings us to number 9. Volunteer to help others. Again, these are the steps to earthly success. And one of those steps is to help others. It doesn't matter what you volunteer to do. There is plenty of work to be done. You don't need to be choosy. And plenty of people who need help. You will also find yourself in closer contact with other successful people, other volunteers, as well as people who need help. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. James 1:27. Or in Titus 3, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. One of the biggest steps to success is avoiding being unfruitful. And the way that you avoid being unfruitful, that's a double negative, is to be fruitful. Go out and produce something. Help someone. Look around just here in the congregation today and say, is there somebody out there that I could do something? Someone's oil needs changing, maybe a leaky faucet. I don't know. Do you have a spare coat to donate to somebody? Can you go sing Christmas carols at the senior apartments? What can you do? Do something. Doesn't matter what, there's plenty of opportunities. Volunteer to help others. Number 10, set some goals. Set some goals. Now, you need 3 types of goals. You need your lifetime goals, what you're going to accomplish at age 70. You need your midterm goals, what you're going to be doing a decade from now. And you need short-term goals, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, 2009, basically. So you need lifetime goals, midterm goals, and short-term goals. Age catches up with you. Age catches up with you. I'm now 48 years old. I'm not 18. I can't set the clock back. No matter how many Hollywood movies I watch, Back to the Future is a great movie, I can't go back. I don't get to do it over again. This is your shot. Do it now. Make the very most of it. Do it unto the Lord. Here you go. Have a plan. Decide what it's going to cost, and then decide, is that what I'm going to do? And then go do it. And man, the reward is amazing. Proverbs 12:27, a lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Proverbs 19:15, laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. When you get to be age 70, what are you going to look at? How are you going to evaluate your life? 10 years from now, what's the most important accomplishment you'll have achieved? Next week, by next week, what will you have done? Started your diet? It is the first of the year, I always do that. Well, earlier we said to give 10% of your income to the church. Number 11 is save 10% of your after-tax, after-tithe income. Give yourself 10%. Give the Lord 10% first. Give yourself 10% second. Okay? It's a good discipline, and the money adds up over time. I remember when Samuel was very little, but he was old enough to understand computers and his allowance. And he got a weekly allowance. And I believe at that time it was about $4 a week, because he was 4 years old. He got a dollar each week for every year old that he was. But he had a plan for that. A dollar of it went into the plate on Sunday at church. A dollar went into his mutual fund. $2 went into his toy fund. He got to spend money on himself. And I took and I created an Excel spreadsheet. How many of you ever done this on your computer, And I took that dollar per week that he was putting into his mutual fund, and I extrapolated it out all the way until the time he was 70 years old. Do you know how much that was? It was over $2 million. Okay. And we had varying interest rates. Remember when we did that, son? No? All right. Well, I'm glad I do. Well, then the dot-com crash hit in April of 2000, you know, and poof, that spreadsheet was useless. But nevertheless, by saving a little bit, every chance you get, it will add up over time. And then it will be there to use in a way that satifies your other goals and desires. So save 10% of your after-tax, after-tithe income. Yeah, I guess first pay God, then pay the government, and then pay yourself. Ugh, I hate that order, but that's what it'll have to be. Number 12. We're all the way up to number 12 here. Start a business. Begin working for yourself on Saturdays. This means that you must go out and persuade customers to hire you so that you don't get harmed too badly if one of those employers fires you. Spread your employment risk. Not everybody will do this, and that's why it's probably number 12, but, you know, the best way is to be your own boss. That way, if you complain about the idiot, you got nothing else. You can't go any further than that. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12, and make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. So those are the 12. Let me review them, see if you had them written down. And if you want them, I didn't have time this morning. Kathy, if you called at 8:30, I would have had time to copy them. Number one, join a local church. Number two, donate 10% of your income to your local church. Number three, finish school. Number four, get married and stay married to the same person. Number five, get a job and keep it. Number six, work cheaper initially. Number seven, master something. Number eight, stop watching so much television, surfing the internet, or playing video games. Number nine, volunteer to help others. Number 10, set some goals. Number 11, save 10% of your after-tax, after-tithe income. And number 12, start a business. All of this is good, but it's worthless if done apart from Christ or for your own glory. John 5:30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Or John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Or 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 12:13, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Those are your 12 steps to earthly success. Don't stop there. Keep adding to your own list. If you'd like a copy afterward, come and see me afterwards. I'll make a photocopy for you. Make number 13, 14, 15, and share them back with me. That's the only thing that I would ask. I keep a collection of these things because I find they're important. And I don't mind going over it again here recently from when I had done it earlier, because it's another good reminder. That's sometimes what number one was all about. Join a good church. Get reminded of what you should do often, because we forget. It's been a pleasure filling in for the men today. I thank everyone who did it. We're going to sing one song, and then we're